Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can I interest you in nightcap?
No, thank you. I don't wear them.
Woo! I don't think I've been this excited for a nightcap since we started doing this. Again, it's August, and we're talking about hockey, just how everyone planned it to be, right?
I think that's why I'm so excited, because hockey is my favorite sport, and when there's something big enough to really dominate a show like this in the middle of the beginning of August.
The middle of summer.
It's got to be something big enough to make it noteworthy. So if you live under a cave... If you live under a cave, that is not the saying. If you live under a rock, and you did not know, the Buffalo Sabres have traded for Carolina Hurricanes forward Jeff Skinner. Now Buffalo Sabres forward Jeff Skinner. How do you like the sound of that? Skinner to the Sabres for Cliff Poo, a second round pick, a third round pick, and a sixth round pick. Take it. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi, and Derek Kramer here on WGR. We are going to hear from Paul Hamilton. We'll be on 8 to 10 tonight. Mike Schoep coming in to do 7 to 8. Glad he was able to come back and rap about that for a little bit. Get Travis Yost on. There's good audio there. We'll have that up on demand at WGR550.com. We'll hear from Paul Hamilton and also the Sabres general manager throughout the course of the show. Jason Botchero scheduled to meet with the media via conference call at 8:45, so just about 40 minutes away. So we'll hear from the Sabres general manager as well. And, I mean, how can you not love the trade? How can you not love it? If you had called in when I was talking about Jeff Skinner in the past couple months, and I've done a lot of it, because since the offseason began, he was like the guy I wanted the Sabres to acquire. It was Jeff Skinner. And I got this little notebook that I just jot things down in just to remind myself of things I want to talk about on the show. And I'm flipping back through it over the past month and a half or so. And over and over and over again, the word Skinner appears in that notebook. He was the guy I wanted the Sabres to add. He makes total sense. He's on the wing, left winger, something that's the weakest part of your team before today. He has speed, something that you needed to upgrade. He has a proven ability to score and put the puck in the back of the net, another thing that you really didn't have much of. And the age, him being 26 years old, as opposed to some of the other guys that were out there, Max Pacioretty in particular, who is 29, 30. I didn't want to add a guy that was in that age range, 29, 30 years old. Skinner at 26, it's perfect. It's perfect. And really, he's the only guy I think that's going to be a part of the team long term that's not in that real young age. Dahlin's 18, Mittelstadt's 19, Eichel's 21, Reinhardt's 21 or 22, Ristolainen's 23. Skinner's a little bit older than those guys, but he's still only 26. And I couldn't love the move more. You gave up, I don't want to say Cliff Poo's nothing, but you basically gave up nothing. You really did.
If you want to be clever and funny about it, you can say you gave up Poo.
You gave up Poo. That's right. Kind of sad that he's never going to have to play in a Sabre jersey, because a Poo jersey would have been pretty sweet.
I would have loved that.
But for those of you that were like, even if you have slight hesitation, thinking, yeah, what if Cliff Poo really becomes something? He's lighting it up in the OHL. Let me remind you of a few years back when Nick Baptiste, who was a third-round pick, 69th overall, the same exact selection that was used to draft Cliff Poo. Baptiste was talked about being a really good prospect in the OHL, playing with Connor McDavid for the Erie Otters, lighting it up in the OHL playoffs, in the OHL regular season. He was thought of as one of the top Sabre prospects. And, you know, you can never guarantee that you're going to hit on a guy if he's not top 10, top 5 even, of the first round of the draft. So they gave up that guy. They gave up that. could be Baptiste in a couple years. He's a nice-looking prospect. To me, he's trending like he's going to become something. But I think best-case scenario, if you're Carolina, you're hoping Cliff Poo becomes Jeff Skinner in a few years. I love the player. Shot generation, good puck possession guy, not incredible in those numbers and those metrics, but he's good at it. And it's the shot generation. You lost that with Evander Kane, and maybe you're getting a little more balance in Jeff Skinner, but you're getting that shot, those amount of shots, the volume back. 24 goals last year, 37 goals the year before, 28 the year before that. His last three seasons would have been top of the list for the Sabres in their goal totals. I think Eichel led the team with 25 last year. When's the last guy the Sabres had a guy that could sniff 37 goals? Eichel, I think, will be able to get to that level, but he hasn't done it yet. And even Kane, career high, was like 30. In fact, I think he only got to 30 once in his career. Skinner's done it three times, got to 37 2 years ago. They have not had a goal scorer that's capable of a near 40-goal season since Thomas Vanek was in the middle of his prime. And they got that guy on the team now. And they got that guy on the team with a great center. It doesn't even have to be Eichel. It could be Mittelstadt, to be honest. And now you look at this overall team, they are much more balanced than they were sitting here 2 hours ago. And now we can really, I think, start to talk about playoffs. I don't think you can talk about top three in this division. There is still work to be done if you're going to end up getting in that conversation. You're probably going to have to wait for Dahlin to really start to take off. You're going to have to wait for Mittelstadt to take off to start to be mentioned with the likes of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning and even the Boston Bruins. But I think we can really now have a serious conversation about the Sabres being a wildcard team this season, as opposed to dead last, which they've been three of the last 5 years, as opposed to just talking about growth. Because the conversation before, I think we would have started talking about what's a successful season for the Sabres. Well, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, new goalie, young kids. I just want to see growth. I just want to see that Mittelstadt's the real deal. I want to see that Dahlin's the real deal. I just like to see them be 5-10 wins better than they were last year, which is not really in the playoff race. And now that you've added what is going to step in day one, and unless Eichel really takes off and takes that huge jump that I think he could take this season, Skinner is your best goal scorer on your team right now. You just added the number one goal scorer on your team. And I think that is a huge get for the Sabres. It's amazing to me that they got him for that little. You could have called into the show 2 weeks ago or a month ago, whenever I would have been bringing his name up. And you could have said, I'd like to get Skinner. I would like to get him for Cliff Poo, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. I would have laughed at you 100%. And now guess what I'm doing? I'm laughing at the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's a pretty paltry return for a guy that has been one of their more important players consistently over, the last 8 years?
Yeah, and really, there's two worries that you could have about this trade and this player. One is concussion issues. He's had concussions throughout his career, but really, he hasn't had one in 3 years.
He hasn't had one in
2014.
Almost four years.
Four years, that's right.
Because through the last 4 years, I looked at this while writing the story. Jeff Skinner has played in 230 out of a possible 238 over the last 4 years. He has missed 8 games in 4 years.
8 games in 4 years. That's a great stat. You can extend that beyond his career throughout the entire course of his career. He's played under 60 games one time in his career in 2012-2013 when he played 42. His games played totals are 82, 64, 42, 71, 77, 82, 79, 82. Doesn't really sound like a guy that's been held out of the lineup for injury much at all.
There was one concussion that it was actually in his 62-game season that he ended up with, I think it was 16 games out. He was missed for 16 games, and then he also got suspended for 2 games that season as well.
The other worry that you could have, I'm not really worried about it at this moment, is contract, because he is an impending UFA next season. I have to guess, and I have a hunch, and I think a lot of people have this hunch, so it's not just me, that we could be looking at a contract pretty soon here. It just makes sense. Because the reports are that he was vetoing trades, he had a no-movement clause, and that he was saying no to certain teams. L.A. in particular has been mentioned. And really, if he chose to come to Buffalo, if he waived his no-movement clause, and he's from Toronto, obviously, he's okay with the idea of playing here. So if you can make the money work, if you can show that you're that you can put some solid pieces around him, the guy's never played with an elite center in Carolina. So if you can show off Jack Eichel, centering him, or even Mittelstadt, it could be Mittelstadt, and you could go to him and say, you're going to play with a great center for the next 5-6 years, or however long they work out the deal to be, and you're going to be right by home in Toronto, and the Sabres obviously are, like, this isn't the Golisano Sabres, or before that, like, they'll pay you if you're worth it, and he is certainly worth it. They could give him the Evander Kane contract, which was 7 over 7. That would sound like a lot, probably.
And I wouldn't necessarily be mad at that based on the way the market dictates, and B, he's already getting 5.75 for this season.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the going rate for a player of that caliber. Evander Kane got 7 over 7. He does not have the production that Jeff Skinner has in his career. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. We're talking Jeff Skinner here. We're going to hear from Sabres general manager Jason Botterill at some point. He's going to talk to the media in about a half hour. We'll also hear from Paul Hamilton as the night goes along as well. You can text us at 550-550, or you can tweet at me at SneakyJoeWGR, or you can tweet at Derek Kramer WGR. There's also football going on right now, preseason football. The Baltimore Ravens and the Chicago Bears. It's been an eventful. It's been a real eventful first drive.
And the Bears threw a pick.
Two huge plays for the Bears right off the bat, and then it goes off an offensive lineman's head straight up in the air, and the Ravens pick it. So, football's back.
So, is that kind of Lamar Jackson time?
That's actually a pet peeve of mine. Football is not back.
Okay? It's back.
Everybody that's saying it's back, it's not back.
It's
this
back.
Is not NFL football.
They're playing football with NFL teams. It's back.
They're playing with... This is glorified training camp practice.
It's still NFL uniforms on national television.
Yeah, let me know when week one starts.
What about preseason week 3?
No. It's still not the same.
You hater.
The games don't matter. I don't care. I care about like the individual battles and such. We might talk to Sal Capaccio, too, as the night rolls along as well. We're waiting to see how the Sabres stuff is going to time out, and then we'll try to fit Sal in as well, because the Bills did practice this morning, and they will be at New Era Field tomorrow for practice, which gets going at 6:15. That will be at New Era Field. Back on Jeff Skinner, obviously repeating the trade here. Skinner to the Sabres, second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick go to Carolina, as well as prospect Cliff Poo. And the years on the deals, or on the picks, are the second round pick is this season, so 2019. The third round pick and the sixth round pick are both in 2020. So really, you could look at this. This is great for the Sabres on a bunch of angles. One, they're getting the player. Best player in the trade. That's usually the saying, if you get the best player in the trade, you win the trade. In this case, it's not even close. It's like Skinner by a mile. Carolina is not getting anything that's going to help them in the next year, or probably even two.
And it's not even a first-round pick that we're talking about here either, which would allow the Hurricanes to have the better chance to get the better player eventually. But you don't see often anything about second-round picks really lighting the world on fire and being able to have the consistent production that Skinner has had.
So as it stands right now for 2019, the Sabres do not have a second-round pick, but of course they have three firsts. They have their own. They have the Sharks, unless the Sharks miss the playoffs. I tend to think that's probably unlikely. And they also have the St. Louis Blues, which that's conditional on the Blues being in the top 10. If it's in the top 10, then that pick goes to 2020, and the Blues would retain it. They're set up well. Worst-case scenario here to me. What is the absolute worst-case scenario? It's that you're not good again. Skinner probably looks all right, but not great. And you're able to flip him at the deadline for probably a first-round pick. And then you got four. And that is the worst case scenario. And then what are we talking about? You've traded Cliff Poo a second, third, and sixth for a first. You probably didn't win that trade, especially being it's probably a later first, considering the team wanting Jeff Skinner would be good. But you didn't kill yourself.
It's a fair exchange.
Right, you didn't kill yourself.
I mean, actually, to move that far, it would be depend on where the Sabres' second-round pick is as well. But you can go ahead and say them moving up from the second round into the first round, that would probably cost you a prospect, a second, and a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So it is pretty even.
This is the marquee trade that I was waiting for Jason Botterill to make. Murray got right out of the gate. He swung and he went for Evander Kane and he went for Ryan O'Reilly. And those were core players of what Tim Murray was trying to build. And now, of course, Marco Scandella is acquired. Another interception, by the way, in this preseason game. So this has been... Not RG3's fault, by the way. He's in the game. Sorry, getting off topic there. Football's back. I can't look away.
You just
it's
said
it
wasn't.
It's not football,
back.
Though. I know. It's my instinct. it looks
you're
like
watching,
football.
You're watching football.
I have to take a step back, though, and remember that this is fake football, kind of, in a way. This is not game planning. This is not the start. Whatever.
Oh,
I digress.
My. Richard Perriman, of course, is
the boss himself. Is the one who tips it up in the air.
He didn't even tip it. He straight dropped it.
This really is, though. This is the marquee trade. So far, for Jason Botterill. He acquired Scandella, but you wouldn't really call Scandella like a core member. A core piece of your team for the next 5 to 10 years. Maybe 10 years might be a little too... Might be stretching a little too far. But Skinner, really, you bring him in now. And, like, this is the guy that Botterill's going to hitch his wagon to. One of them. Obviously, the other guys are Mittelstadt, Eichel, Dahlin. Like, you're set up pretty great there. But you're adding Skinner to that mix now. Assuming you sign him. And I don't want to just assume that he's going to sign here long term, that they might have a deal in place. But I would be a little surprised if he wasn't. If he wasn't signed at some point. You notice I did not mention Sam Reinhart. I still don't really know what's going on with him. The fact that he hasn't signed is a little strange, not too strange. We saw it a couple years ago, Rasmus Ristolainen, and he actually didn't, I don't think, sign until we got into training camp. And then Tim Murray locked him up on that deal. So maybe this Reinhart thing gets dragged out a little bit, but I want to see what kind of deal he gets, what kind of money he gets, before I just automatically say, yeah, Sam Reinhart's a part of Jason Botterill's core going forward here. He's a nice player. He mentioned Sam Reinhart when he talked about his young pieces the last time he was at the podium, I think about a month ago. And now that you have Skinner, it opens it up a little bit more if you did want to move on from Reinhart. I don't think for a second that's really in consideration, but it's a little bit more feasible now. And you could maybe even use that in negotiations. You could say to Sam Reinhart's agent, yeah, you're not the best winger on the team anymore. So that thing you were kind of holding over us there, maybe, that you were the best winger on the team and you can't afford to lose us. Yeah, we just added a guy who scored 37 goals a couple years ago. I still think they're going to sign Reinhart. I think everybody thinks they're going to sign Reinhart. I think it makes total sense to bring him back here, because now you could actually talk about having a legit top six. You really could. And I can't, let's do lines. I love it. It's August 2nd, and I'm breaking out the notebook make lines.
By the way, we have reached peak football is back. We had an official review on a pick.
Oh my God.
What is a catch? We're back.
I don't want to hear
one. We are back.
And our first look at Terry McCauley, the former ref that's now the NBC rules analyst. Wonderful. Football is back. Is that Chase Daniel playing quarterback for the Bears?
That is.
It's Chase Daniel playing quarterback for the Bears. So obviously, we could have this debate. I like Eichel with Mittelstadt, but just for sake of conversation, Skinner's your best winger probably right now. So Eichel, Skinner, Reinhart. How does that sound? Does that not sound like a legit top line in the NHL?
Dude, that looks like probably one of the better lines that you can get in the NHL. Just straight up.
I don't even remember who's on the team because I'm so swept up in this trade right now. So they have Sobotka, they have Berglund, the guys they brought over.
Tate
Connor
Thompson.
Sheary. Remember, I completely forgot about Connor Sheary. Remember, you acquired him. What was the talk about that? Oh, he played with Crosby. He played pretty well when he was with Crosby. You could put him with Jack Eichel, and he could be your top line left winger.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to draw it up like that. My first line will be with Sheary, Eichel, Oposo, so that you can kind of balance out the talent a little bit and give Casey Mittelstadt a gunner that can really help out here.
But how about the fact that now you don't really have to,
you don't have to
bet on Connor Sheary, who, by the way, has only exceeded 30 points once in his career. You don't have to count on him to be your number one left winger.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
That's true.
So you got him in your top six, just for sake of argument. I'm just ranking them by skill. I like that too. Keeping Sheary with Eichel, maybe. Sheary, I forgot. We got a different name. We got to fix that. And Skinner playing with Mittelstadt. I like that combo too. Maybe ease Mittelstadt in a little bit. Put him with a elite shot generator on his side, a guy that can really put the puck in the back of that. But anyway, Mittelstadt, Sheary. Who else is in your top six? Am I missing somebody? Oposo.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Kyle Oposo is like your fifth best player in your top six. That's pretty nice.
That's a good problem to have.
Even on, think about it from this, there's so many angles to look at
this. There's another angle to look at this as well, because maybe the Sabres try to break in Casey Mittelstadt and they give him that third line minutes initially. Patrick Berglund has two talented guys on his wing to help ease Mittelstadt into the pro game. Oh, and then, by the way, your third line can look like Mittelstadt, Rodriguez, and Tage Thompson.
Tage Thompson. I forgot about Tage
You're
Thompson.
You're welcome. This is... It's August 2nd, okay. And we talk in hockey, and it's awesome.
Okay. So now, you've got Patrick Berglund. I'm going to put him in. I'm just going to slide him in as the third line center right now, just for sake of argument. And you got Tage Thompson, so let's do that. Let's put Tage Thompson over there on the left. And who am I missing here? Am I missing anybody else? Evan Rodriguez. You want to put him as the fourth line center for right now?
I had Johan Larsson at the fourth line just because he's not going to go away.
I don't want him in the lineup.
He's not going to go away.
I don't want him in the lineup.
I'm sorry. It's just reality.
I'm trying to have fun right now, which is why I don't want him in the lineup.
Oh, that's
I'm
the fourth, sure it's I'll, the fourth line center.
It, like,
it's
right,
okay.
It doesn't matter. But, okay, so Sobotka. Let's do an all blues line for our third line. Sobotka, Berglund, and Thompson. And then you got Rodriguez. You've got Girgensons. And Scott Wilson.
I forgot about Scott Wilson.
All right. Now, that's not a forward group I would project to make the playoffs, but we're really, I think, talking about an improved team here.
We're talking about not just an improved team. You're talking about one that people are going to pay money to watch again. You're talking about one that could end up in a wild card conversation if things work out for them, because at the back end, you have a question on the back end as well. What happens here? You have Dahlin Ristolainen, Scandella Bogosian, Guli McCabe, Nelson Beaulieu. There's going to be at least one halfway decent defenseman sitting in the press box every game.
I guess this kind of eliminates my Nathan Beaulieu as a fourth line winger idea out the window. I was half kidding when I was saying that anyway. And that really, the other thing I was going to mention, the power play. And what you had in the past was O'Reilly would kind of play on that one side a lot, and Oposo played a little bit of it last year, and it wasn't his one-timer side. And I'm not sure what hand Skinner is. He's a lefty, so that's perfect. You think about the way their power play was set up. The triangle at the top. It was Ristolainen at the very top. It was Eichel on the left, if you were watching from the TV camera, and you would have Oposo or O'Reilly on the right. Now, O'Reilly and Oposo, I'm not saying they don't have great good shots, but not to the level of Eichel. When the penalty kill unit for the other team was going out there, the guy they did not want ripping a one-timer was Jack Eichel, because he could score from anywhere on the ice, and if you let him get an open one-timer, he could score. And you didn't really have that from O'Reilly and Oposo. They would score once in a while from there, but that was not some super dangerous threat, those guys ripping one-timers from the side on the power play. And I think adding Skinner really can give you another element there. Now you've got a secondary guy, or maybe even a first guy. You've got another guy on that top power play unit that has to make a goalie think, I got to make sure I'm getting over there if he gets a one-timer, because he could put it in.
And now there's more flexibility with what you can do with the lineups on the power play as well. It's even better. It's kind of sad that I didn't even think about the power play right away, because I'm just thinking, oh, yo, I need to look at my new top six here. Oh, wait, that's right. The power play is a thing.
Everything gets more flexible to me. Everything just gets upgraded in the short term with this trade. It may be even long term. 803-0550 is the phone number. Before we hit a break here, let's get Jeff in on the conversation. Jeff, what's going on, man? You're on the Nightcap.
Hey, just wondering what do you think about Dolly and Skinner and Casey Middlestat's a bust.
Casey Middlestat's a what?
What?
What'd you say about Casey Middlestat?
He's a bust.
He's a bust. Okay. Jeff, thanks for the call. On Rasmus Dahlin and that part of it, I mean, we're just talking about the power play. I think when we drafted Dahlin, maybe some of the conversation was you could put him on that top unit. You could put him with Ristolainen and see how it goes. Now, I think Dahlin is just so talented that he might force his way onto that top power play unit. But you don't need to rush him on there anymore. You could have Eichel, Ristolainen, and Skinner as those three guys up top. You throw Reinhart in front of the net, and you could throw Pozo in the high slot. That's a great-looking power play unit. And I didn't even mention Middlestat. Middlestat, Dahlin, like, suddenly, if those guys are on your second power play unit, I know they're young, I know they're rookies, you don't want to expect a ton from them right away, but everything sounds more exciting when you make a trade like this to me. Everything does. You really fire up the fan base with a big move like this. And it's not just adding a big name. It's not just selling tickets. It's not selling jerseys. Like, the Skinner move does all of that, but also makes a ton of sense on the ice for what you needed style-wise, position-wise, and really not just for the short term, but for the long term. 803-0550. We will squeeze one more caller in here before we hit the break. Let's go to Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? You're on the Nightcap.
Hi, so I'm from North Carolina. I grew up there. My mom and dad are from Buffalo, but I grew up watching the Hurricanes, and I moved to Buffalo 2 years ago. So I got to see a good amount of Jeff Skinner down in Raleigh, and I'm really excited for him to be a Saber now. Mm. He's one of the best skaters I've ever seen and on a hockey rink, and he's a pure scorer. I think you can pair with Eichel. I'm really, really excited to have a guy like this on the team.
Love it. Tyler, thanks for the call, man. We'll hit a break here. We will get Paul Hamilton in on the show when we come back, and we'll hear from Jason Bottrell as well throughout the course of the show. The Nightcap, Jody Biasi, Derek Kramer going 8-10 tonight. Sabres trade for Jeff Skinner. You're listening to WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer, watching a little preseason football, talking about a little Jeff Skinner. Buffalo Sabres acquiring the Hurricanes, former Hurricanes forward now, for Cliff Poo, a second-round pick in 2019, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick, both of those in 2020. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get back to your calls soon, but Paul, let's bring Paul Hamilton in here on the AT&T hotline. Paul, you're on with Mike Shope last hour, so for those that didn't hear you then, your overall thoughts when you first saw the trade Skinner to the Sabres?
Well, one thing Jason Bostrow talked about right at his postseason press conference was they had to add speed. They had to get speed into the lineup, and here's a guy with elite speed that they are bringing in. One of their slower guys in Ryan O'Reilly, they is no longer in the lineup. So, you know, that's one thing they wanted to add. Not only do you add speed, but you add speed that is able to score goals on the left wing, which is, let's face it, before this trade was really weak. So this strengthens a big weakness for you. I understand you're giving up a bunch of draft picks, but none of them are number one picks. Cliff Poo, you're hopeful about him. I mean, with guys that are drafted, you just never know if they're going to be able to play in the NHL. If they're not, I think he's trending towards maybe having an NHL career, another guy with good speed. Mm-hmm. But you're getting an established player, which is something I think the Sabres need. You're getting a guy that scores goals now. which is something I think the Sabres need. I don't appreciate a guy who is maybe the biggest diver in the National Hockey League, but as I said to Mike Schoepf, I don't think that's a reason not to pick him up. I don't respect a player like that that does that a lot. But they've been divers in this town before, and Derek Roy and Danny Briere and some others.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like I've never seen it before. But if that was the minus I would have, that would be it. But I don't think you don't make the trade because of it.
No, yeah. On Cliff Pooh, too, I made the comparison earlier on between him and Nick Baptiste. They were the same pick in the third round, 69th overall. Baptiste was another guy, too, who had some hype when he was playing in the OHL, and really, he hasn't taken off. I'm not saying he won't, but you just never know with a guy in that round. Were you surprised by the package that the Sabres had to give up? If you had told me 2 weeks ago, calling in, that if a caller just called and said that's what it would take to get Jeff Skinner, I probably would have laughed at that person.
Yeah, no, I don't think they gave up a whole lot. As I said, Cliff Pooh might turn into a nice player. We just don't know. But you didn't give up a number one pick. You didn't give up. Some people might argue that you maybe gave up one of your top prospects. I don't know if I would say that right now. Again, you don't know until he plays. And the picks, as I said, you didn't give up a number one pick out of it. So I think you've done all right as far as that goes. You've got one contract out, one contract in. You're getting a little high on contracts now. You can only have 50.
Right.
Darlene won't count until he plays in his 11th game, and then he will count against the contracts you have. But you want to leave a little bit of flexibility. You don't want to get yourself right up to 50 right off the bat. So you don't have to worry about that. You didn't add a contract, an extra contract out of it. Now the question is, you know, are they going to look to re-sign him? Are they going to look to see if he fits into what they're looking for first? Maybe a little trial and error and see if it's what they're looking for. I mean, you're going to have to pay him a raise, so it's going to cost you more than he makes right now to be able to re-sign him, and that's something down the line. So it'll be interesting to see how the Sabres react to that.
Yeah, on the contract, he, of course, one more year, and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Do you think they make this trade if they don't have at least a strong sense that they're going to be able to re-sign him?
Yeah, because you can always trade him at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can maybe get even a better deal than you gave up. You know, maybe you get a number one pick back if somebody's looking for a score at the trade deadline. So if it doesn't work out, or you don't like the way it is, or you don't think you can sign him, then you just turn him around and trade him at the trade deadline and get some stuff back for him. So I don't want to say you're doing it for nothing, and it's almost like a free trial, but I'm sure there would be some interest in him at the trade deadline if he were to be made available as a rental.
On some of the guys that are slotted below him on the roster now, if you were just going to draw it up, and talking specifically probably about Tage Thompson, Connor Sherry, Alex Nylander, what do you think this him being on the roster means for those guys this year and beyond?
I don't think any of them meant a thing to Nylander. I don't think he's even remotely ready to be in the National Hockey League, so I'm not really planning on him at all. I mean, what does it mean to Bailey and Baptiste? Well, they're going to really, really, really have to show something if they want to make the team. Now Thompson, the same thing. I mean, Thompson can go down to Rochester. Those other guys have to pass through waivers. But Thompson can go down to Rochester, and maybe now that you've added something to your left wing, you don't need to rush him in that spot. He played for St. Louis last year, but it was a lot of fourth-line role, something that he felt he should have gotten more than that. He didn't get a lot of ice time, and he thought he could have produced more if he was given that opportunity. But Jason Bottrell might decide, you know what, maybe he could use some time in Rochester, especially now that you've added Sherry and Skinner to your left wing, and you don't have to rush him in there.
Paul Hamilton, wrapping up with him here on the AT&T Hotline. Paul, we'll let you go after this one because Jason Bottrell scheduled to speak with the media in under 5 minutes here. I just wanted to ask you on Sam Reinhart and his contract status. We really haven't heard anything, and I'm not really saying that should be reason to worry. And even thinking back a couple years, I think Ristolainen maybe held out into training camp. I'm not sure if I'm remembering that correctly, but is there any reason to worry, you think, that Reinhart hasn't signed at this point?
I don't think it would be a very smart idea for him to hold out. maybe his agent would think differently. Because let's face it, he only played 45 decent games. I mean, before that, he was pretty bad to the point where you wondered, wow, do you even stick around with him? And how long, I mean, he's young. Do you wait on him and that type of thing? And then he just caught fire in the last 45 games. So are you going to pay a lot of money over a seven-year deal or something like that for 45 games, 45 really good games, but it still wasn't a full season? So, you know, I'm sure the Sabres are probably looking for a bridge deal of a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. I'm sure the Reinhardt camp is looking for a long-term deal with a lot of term on it. The Lindholm deal would be something in that Calgary signed, which I thought it was a ridiculous deal. But, you know, the Reinhardt camp might be looking at that and saying, well, you know what, why can't we get something like that? So, is it something to worry about? I mean, what's he going to do? Eventually, he's got to sign something and get in. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of leverage. I don't think he's in a position at his age to sit out a season or anything like that. So I think eventually, yes, he'll get something done.
Okay, Paul, thank you for hopping on with me. I know we're running tight up here to Jason Bottrell. We'll look forward to hearing what he has to say, and I'm sure we'll hear from you probably on the station upcoming, even maybe tomorrow.
Sounds great. Take care.
Great. Thanks, Paul. Paul Hamilton there on the AT&T hotline. We will take a break here, and then we'll come back. Jason Bottrell scheduled to meet with the media. We will bring that to you as soon as we can. Update on the Hall of Fame game here. It's just interception after interception. RG3 and Chase Daniel are just trading interceptions. So that's going well. Not seeing a whole lot from the Bills' Week 1 opponent. I know it's not a lot of their starters. In fact, I think they are sitting out 5, maybe 6 starters, both in the offense and the defense. No Flacco, no Eric Weddle. I'm just ready to see Lamar Jackson this game. Can we just get Lamar Jackson in? He's basically the only reason I'm even watching at this point. Still RG3 in the game. Jeff Skinner is a Saber. How does that sound? I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't wait for opening night now. We're going to talk more about that, of course. Brian Koziel, we'll hear from him in the second hour, and we'll try to get Sal Capaccio in as well to recap today's day at Buffalo Bills training camp. So the nightcap going 8-10 tonight. Adding a little bit, Sabres trading for Skinner. I'll gladly do that anytime the Sabres want to make a big trade like this. Thanks, everyone, for listening. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get your thoughts in, or you can do it on the text line, 550-550, or on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR or Derek at DerekKramerWGR. It's the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer. Thanks for listening, WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer, hanging out with you here on WGR, 8-10 tonight. So we're not wrapping up in about 10 minutes. This is not last call in the Nightcap. Last call is about an hour from now. We're going to hear from Brian Koziel at 9:15. We're going to hear from Jason Bottrell as well, who should be speaking to the media, I believe, at this very moment. And if not, he will be soon. Scheduled press conference, or not press conference, conference call for 8:45, and he is speaking. There's a quote here on Twitter just come across. We had to find ways to create more offense. Love it. We did. They did have to find more ways to create offense, and that is the way to do it. There was not a better way, I think, to do it that was out there than adding Jeff Skinner. Pacioretty, you know, similar goal production, but 3 years older, also needing a big deal. That 3 years is big. It's big. You sign a guy to a 7-year contract when he's 29 years old. I mean, he's in his mid-30s for half of that. And in the NHL, like, guys can still be productive in their mid-30s, but rarely are they in the primes of their careers. You usually see some sort of drop-off. You sign Skinner to a 7-year deal, and he's 33 by the end of it. So I love it. Age-wise, stylistically, a guy that can just fire the puck from anywhere and score. Positionally, you didn't have really a top left winger. You really didn't even have a second left winger. You had Connor Sherry and Tage Thompson and Nylander, who hasn't shown us anything that makes you think he can be a productive top six forward in the NHL right now. 803-0550 if you want to get in on the conversation. And not like stylistically, because Skinner is a guy that can rip it from anywhere and can score from anywhere, that really is not something I think you had on the wings. Sam Reinhart was your best winger about 3 hours ago on the team. And look at his goal charts. All of them, all the goals that Sam Reinhart scores are right around the net. He has very few, I think maybe, he might have seven. I think the number I had was seven goals in his career from outside the top of the faceoff circle. I haven't looked at Skinner's. I guarantee you it's higher than that. Reinhart is a, you need those guys too that can be productive in front of the net, that have that vision, that are really good tape-to-tape passers. God knows we've needed that on the team, not just on the blue line, but up front. And Reinhart gives you that as well. But Skinner is giving you something that Sam Reinhart didn't give you, which is wrist shot from the high slot, boom, puck in the net. He's giving you something Kyle Opozo doesn't give you. Blazing speed. You got to beat a defenseman in a foot race to get to a puck that could turn into a breakaway. Boom, Jeff Skinner, he's gone.
One of the big things when he was taken seventh overall was he's one of the strongest skaters that you're going to have. Fleet-footed, very agile, speedy as all heck, and he can do whatever you needed to skating-wise, and he was talented and everything like that. Some people thought he was a reach, but it was just like, it was mostly because of his size, but his skating ability was always.
Even his size isn't bad. I mean, he's listed at 6 foot 200 here.
Yeah,
Hockey but like Reference has him at 5'11",
200. When he was,
so.
When he was drafted, he was on the smaller and lighter side of things. Mm-hmm. But, again, the skating was one of the greatest things about him, and that's what you need here.
I remember, too, a couple years ago, his name is, I feel like Skinner's name has been floated in trade rumors forever. Maybe 5 years. Maybe more. And he was always a guy that was talked about being a trade guy because not just of the injury concerns, which really haven't come to fruition, but the fact that he had a great rookie season and then he kind of fell off. He had 63 points in his rookie year, 31 goals. And after that, it was 44 points, 20 goals, 24 points, 13 goals in half a season. That's actually a pretty good point pace, but or pretty good goal pace. Then it was 2013-2014. He got back up to 33 goals, and then he had another down year. That was the year, 2014-2015. At age 22, his fifth year in the league, at age 22, because remember, Skinner started as an 18-year-old. He had 18 goals and 13 assists in 77 games. So 31 points in basically a full year. I think that's when people started getting scared off. Since that year, he's been nothing but productive. 28 goals, 37 goals, even 24 goals last year. 24 goals as a down year for a guy is a huge upgrade for anything the Sabres had. Because we talked about how great a year Sam Reinhart had last year. He had, what, 20? Did he get above 20? 50, he had 50 points. And we talked about that as like, oh, breakout year. Here comes Sam Reinhart. He had 25 goals. 25 goals, 25 assists. Sam Reinhart's year last year was similar to what Skinner had, and it was a down year for Skinner. That's the kind of player you get. That's the caliber of player that you're getting back. A guy that has made all-star teams before, is considered one of the better wingers of his style in the NHL. Not elite, but really good. And you needed more guys like that.
You needed some more help in the top six, and this solidifies that. You get a proven top six forward that can help you up on the left wing where, think about it, before this offseason, they were barren. They had nothing. And now you add Connor Sherry, and then on top of that, you add Jeff Skinner. So this is looking very promising now, just like that, at the turn of a hat, because Jason Botchel is getting the work done. And, of course, trades can flop. Those sorts of things do happen. But, like you said, a down year and he had 24 goals.
Yeah.
That is something to take to the bank every time.
803-0550 is the phone number. We'll hear from Jason Botchel, Brian Koziel, and more as we progress through the night here. One more hour to go. We'll be on till 10 o'clock tonight. Jody Biasi, Derek Kramer. It's the Nightcap. You're listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.